Well, good afternoon, everybody, on August 6th, 2020. It's about 10 seconds after noon, so I can say afternoon here on the East Coast. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. If you're listening today, you might be listening on the archives. We know a lot of people do. Welcome to podcasting. And if so, you might be listening over at our website, which is education-talkradio.org. We archive everything over there, put a new schedule up there every Saturday, and you can see what we're doing. If you just go over there, again, it's education-talkradio.org. All right. We also have our consortium, our American Consortium for Equity in Education, that we're very proud of. Over at ace-ed.org, we're all about equity over there and accessibility to education. Okay, we want your voice heard. If you're an educator, everything's free. It includes a subscription to our online journal, ACE Equity and Access, which is over there on the website as well. Please join with us, pre-K through higher ed, over at the ace-ed.org. ORG, I'm Larry Jacobs. It's nice to have you here today. I got to tell you, it really is. We didn't have to do any shows yesterday. We lost electricity for the day thanks to the tropical storm whose name I cannot pronounce, who seemed to have taken down every tree branch in the great state of Maine, and about 150,000 people didn't have electricity all day yesterday. But we got it back today, so we're going to have a good show, and we're going to leave Maine today. We're going to go over with a woman named Mallory Wilsey, and she's the Vice President of Strategy and Operations at a company called Platform Q Education. That's the letter Q, okay? Platform Q Education. And they allow students to visit colleges virtually. All right, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Please follow us over on on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio. On Facebook, it's Education Talk Radio and Larry Jacobs. And on LinkedIn, it's Larry Jacobs. So please friend us, follow us, link with us, and join our consortium at ace-ed.org. Let me get Mallory over here. I see her. She's spinning on the board. There she is. Mallory, I'm Larry. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Larry, it's so great to be here and so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for the invitation to join your podcast today.
It's my pleasure, and I'm glad we're able to bring what you guys do with Platform Q, again, the letter Q, not C-U-E, the letter Q, okay, to all these folks. And what struck me as interesting is, would you describe your firm as a higher education firm or as a lower than higher education into high school type stuff? Because what you do, and I think I've got this right, is create, you have a platform that allows students to visit colleges, and in this crazy fall, although to me it matters whether with the pandemic or not, I'll explain in a second. You seems to me you have something pretty cool here for what we need right now. Tell everybody about it.
That's right. So Platform Q Education is the leader in online engagement strategies and software for higher education. So we work with colleges and universities to help evolve their online engagement strategies. And like you just said, we have a really terrific product, a whole suite of products and managed services. The main one is Conduit, and that product, that tool, enables institutions to very meaningfully engage with prospective students, their parents, guidance counselors, you know, really at every stage of the admissions journey. So our clients are great, you know, terrific colleges and universities, community colleges, small private liberal arts, flagships, all types of institutions. And like you just said, right now, recruiting students virtually is a hot topic, and we have the tool to make it happen.
Well, actually, we have to even go deeper than that. Not only is recruiting students virtually a hot thing, but students attending, okay, and doing orientation, okay, and everything else remotely, all right, is a hot thing. You guys seem to be in a great place because if I read your website right, and I may be wrong here, but help me out, Mallory. You may do virtual tours, but you actually can do events and all that sort of thing. I mean, just go into a little deeper about what you folks do. It's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is really cool. So institutions right now are just under a lot of pressure, right, in terms of bringing students back to campus and trying to reach prospective students in virtual environments. So whether that's summer orientations that have been taken off the table or college fair visits that just can't happen in September, we offer a tool that allows these colleges and universities to reach their prospective students in a virtual space. So it's not just about virtual campus tours. Those are great too. Oftentimes those can be really static, right? They just sit on the website. They're not perhaps as interactive as students are looking for. So what we offer is a branded and owned space for a college to use to reach these students. They invite students into the platform. They can host events for them. May that be an application workshop or a financial aid workshop. And they can show off their campus and the people at their campus. That's what's so important, right? Students want to connect with people, not with buildings. So when shift these activities into the virtual space, now you have this wonderful opportunity to allow your prospective students to reach current students or alumni, faculty members, right? So much easier than if you had to bring all these people to campus, right? So the tool is terrific, and it is exciting. You know, there's a lot of interactive elements. You can offer Q&A, live chats, and really enable that really meaningful connection between your prospective audience and your campus community. And we know from research that prospective students say that, you know, they do want to visit campus, and that campus visit is heavily influential, but the reason that campus visit is so important is because they get to connect with the people there. So replicating those feelings in the digital space, it's all about the person-to-person interactions.
And let me ask you this, and this would be a typical question, so I don't mean it to be anything. What's the difference, and I know there is one, between what you guys do at Platform Q, which, by the way, is a poem, what you do at Platform Q, okay? What's the difference between that, and I'm just going to say it because everybody's using it these days, in Zoom, okay? Talk to me about that. I bet you get that question a lot, so I'm just curious.
Feel free.
Yeah.
We do. Well, not all virtual experiences are made equal, right? You have all types of virtual experiences in the admissions process. Virtual tours, one-on-one interactions, larger scale workshops or open houses, academic preview events, and then virtual college fairs. I mean, all of these things make up the virtual landscape for the experiences that a prospective student can have. Zoom is one of many tools in that toolkit and allows for and enables one-to-one connections and conversations to happen. And that's great. I would never tell you that that's not. I was an admission counselor. You know, if I was in an admission office right now, I would be looking for a solution that allowed me to have one-on-one video-based conversations. There is a place for that. But the beauty of virtual, and, you know, where I think virtual really stands out in comparison to a lot of the traditional activities that take place in admission recruitment in the fall, virtual allows you to scale your audience and target students anywhere. So, therefore, you now can very meaningfully reach thousands of students at once. And instead of, say, having to go and visit few hundred high schools over the course of a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, you can reach all of those students in a virtual space at once, right? So virtual is allowing the admission recruiters to actually refocus and reprioritize their efforts. And when you can reach, you know, one to many, that allows you to have, when you need to turn to those one-to-one conversations, more meaningful conversations. So Conduit, our platform, really enables that one-to-many interaction. And then by providing those interactive one-to-one opportunities within the tool with live chat and Q&A, you know, we can really create a really interactive environment that allows an admissions person to scale their efforts quickly but still answer those individual questions that students have.
It's fascinating to me. And do you see this? And Mallory, you guys might be in the catbird seat here. I got to tell you, the pandemic stinks, and everybody knows that. Okay, a lot of people are dying. Nobody's pro pandemic, but it's forcing us, okay? You know, the old line, when the good Lord gives you lemons, you make lemonade, okay? And these are really big lemons, okay? So we got to make a lot of lemonade. But the point is, things are changing. And we're you said you were an admissions recruiter. Okay, so you would go to high schools and talk to high school counselors and students and all that about the can you say which college you worked at?
Sure, I worked for my alma mater. Very proud of them, St. Michael's College, located in Vermont, just outside
Burlington, Vermont, right next
to
UVM.
Yeah,
right next to UVM.
That's right, down the street.
I know it well. Okay, so all right, so you went to a great school, and you did. That is really a nice school over there. The whole area is just gorgeous. But let me ask you, is this the wave of the future? And let's just say they get a vaccine, and everything will go back to normal. You know, but in reality, this is a lot less expensive, I would imagine, than putting you on an airplane and feeding you for 5 days and having you drive around to 10 different high schools. Okay? And when you look at it from that point of view, and I'm just digging to find good things about this pandemic, is this a better way to do it?
Larry, you nailed it. Honestly, the traditional and legacy recruitment activities support a model that's broken. It was broken more than 10 years ago when I was doing this work myself. And if anything, you know, thanks to digital, even more has changed since I was one of those road warriors. You know, most significantly, the college search and choice process does not begin when a high school senior hits their final year of high school, right? That process starts many years earlier. Institution websites are the new front door for campuses. There are, you know, ample social media opportunities for prospective students to connect with current students, with faculty, with admission counselors, location-based geofencing, right? There's college help sites. I mean, digital totally upended the college search process. And we've seen this shift happen with other industries faster. So if we think about complex sales that take place, right, 57% of the purchase decision is often completed before a customer ever talks to a salesperson. And we know that 67% of the buying journey is done digitally. And these are other industry stats. But we've seen the same exact shift happen in higher ed. The issue is colleges and universities haven't, you know, fully caught up to that. So as, you know, a sale becomes more complex, the buying journey becomes more complex. And I'm hard pressed to find a sale that's more complex than the college search for most individuals, especially
certainly what's going
to
result in so much money being spent. Yeah. I mean, you really got to be careful. You're going to spend a lot of money. Okay. At college.
Yeah.
So, and I like the way you said that, because I'll tell you, you know, the colleges have been acting on an old model and in many other ways. I won't get into that, okay? And I think this is going to be a real eye-opener when all's said and done, and these changes are really, really important. But I have an interesting question. I want to go out to the other end, okay? What's the reaction, okay? And again, everything's going remote these days, and I'm not sure I'll ask of high school college counselors and high school students do the virtual. Let's take it instead of from the college point of view, from the client's point of view, i.e. the counselor, the student. How do they react to the virtual versus the live? And I like it, by the way, but you go ahead.
Well, a lot of admission pros like to bring up that the campus visit can really be a make or break event, right? And a lot of us in that role might cite the special feeling or the magic moment that the student gets when they walk on campus. It all just clicks into place, right? And we kind of over-leaned on that moment. So it's tough. You know, I think admission professionals and leaders are experiencing something that even the most experienced enrollment and admission professionals have never had to deal with a fully virtual recruitment season. And, you know, there are some institutions out there who are still choosing to host visitors. It's drastically reduced and scaled back in really controlled circumstances. So, mm-hmm. again, you're kind of losing that opportunity for scale in that scenario. So, you know, they're doing drive-up events or self-guided driving tours, you know, all of these things. So they're trying to make it work and find those pockets of opportunity to still bring folks to campus. But I think admission counselors are really realizing that the need to embrace digital now, or maybe 2 months ago, right? But today is important, and they get that.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, Mallory, and believe me, I'm a lot older than you are. When I was a kid, okay, nobody ever went on a campus visit. I'm a college graduate. I know my friends are college graduates. None of us, okay, went on a college visit. We just assumed that there was a college where we were applying, okay, that if you applied to Penn State or if you applied to University of Maine, that if you got up to Orono in Maine, there would be a college there. There would be buildings at a campus. But the chance of actually visiting prior to being accepted was pretty slim. And I'm talking about in the 1960s and even into the 70s. Okay. And of course that changed over the years. All right. And parents are now taking their kids. Maybe your parents did it when you went to St. Mike's. Okay. They take you to 15 different colleges all over the place. Okay. And I did that with my kids. All right. And in fact, one of my sons wound up going to, for goodness sakes, up in Vermont. Also, I just lost it. Johnson State in Stowe. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know Stowe. Okay. I live in Maine, by the way, and my kids grew up in New Hampshire, so I'm familiar with that whole area. All right. But the point is, by the way, the other college, they're gone now, but the other college in Vermont was Lyndon State and Johnson State, which together were Lyndon Johnson, who happened to be a U.S. president. Yeah. Just in case you didn't know that.
Right.
Right. A lot of people didn't think of that. But, you know, I think we're going to see a major sea change back to what you're doing, okay? And I think it's going to linger long, long after this pandemic, which I hope ends quickly, but it's not going to. Yeah, is all over, all right? So let me ask you, what are the components, okay, of what you do? Okay, and I don't mean you already said some of them, but how was what you do for a college put together, so to speak, to entice the student and entice the high school counselor? What are the components of it?
Sure. Well,
go, Mallory.
Really,
you're on.
With
I love this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, perfectly. You
Larry,
go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Can you
okay,
hear me?
Great.
Go.
Sorry. So So our institutions, our clients, we encourage them, of course, you have to first start with understanding your target populations and your target audience and understanding what their needs are. So, for example, we work with the University of Missouri, Kansas City, who likes to offer Spanish-speaking virtual opportunities for their Latinx students.
Wow.
And they put these programs together because they understand that these students and parents, you know, want to connect with native speaking staff members to answer their questions. So working with UMKC, we talk through what, you know, what those webinars, info sessions might be. We look at their academic programs, you know, the students that they have on campus, the alumni that they might bring to these opportunities, and, you know, in tandem, develop a calendar that's going to support the needs of serving that particular population. So
mm-hmm.
that's just one example. But
pretty cool.
When we're working with our clients, you know, we really have to think about all of the components that make up the buying journey for that prospective student and what they want to know. So institutions, what's their product? Their product is the academic program. So ensuring that there are showcases for all of those programs built into the calendar alongside helpful workshops for application completion or panels to talk about the student experience financial aid workshops to help shed a light on, you know, a lot of the misconceptions or confusion that certain populations might have about what financial aid even looks like. Career outcomes, meetings and panels with faculty. I mean, these are all important components of the learning process for a prospective student as they understand what an institution might offer them. And the beauty about virtual is that there's no need to wait. Oftentimes, all of these components for an in-person event might make up what a college would call a weekend open house that runs from, you know, 9 in the morning until maybe 3 or 4 in the afternoon and sprinkles in various workshops, various panels, mock lectures, et cetera. When you lift when you free yourself from the physical space, that allows you to take all of that great programming and create a 3, 4, 5 month calendar of ongoing repeating events that will allow you to continue to engage these students and keep them engaged with you over time.
That was an interesting answer, and it has a lot to do with the diversity question that's up there. And which brought up an interesting, you could actually, and this is key because I've done podcasts about this, you know, I'll use African-American as an example because they come to mind immediately. I've worked with African-American college counselors, okay, who see their job as trying to make sure that the African-American kids on campus feel comfortable and at home. Okay, there were some really great shows. You know, that's really important. And that you could just put in, fill in the blank, any ethnic group. You want people to feel comfortable, safe, and at home. That was interesting what you said. Are you finding that more and more that the colleges are tailoring, especially in light of this spring with all the social justice initiatives, with the death of Mr. Floyd and all that sort of thing? People are really up in arms and concerned about this. Are the colleges concerned about this and tailoring their message to make sure that their future students feel at home? For example, if they're recruiting in downtown Philadelphia, okay, it's a different recruitment than out in the middle of Pennsylvania. It's a whole different demographic out there. So I'm curious, how are you finding that they're tailored to their students? That was a long way of asking that question. I apologize for being so long-winded, but you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. And I think, Larry, that you've just hit on another reason why, you know, especially earlier on in the recruitment process, virtual offers a lot of benefits that in-person does not. And especially with diverse populations or underserved populations, virtual can allow you to connect with these students in a different way and in a way that can be, you know, more meaningful. So we mentioned UMKC and their Latinx population, but a number of our clients, Western Connecticut State, University of Washington, Cal State, Northridge, I mean, they are all offering multicultural outreach events, student panels, you know, really targeting specific events for different populations.
Cool.
And with our conduit platform, you know, it's mobile friendly. So oftentimes, you know, these are the populations that rely on their mobile devices to connect to the internet and may be living in places where, you know, broadband access is just not as available. So, you know, our platform, we really make sure that we're taking those things into consideration on, you know, the tech side and increasing the, you know, ability for these institutions to connect with those populations in that way is just so important. So diversity and inclusion programs are really, you know, one of the things that we consider to be a cornerstone event in the entire virtual lineup. And that's something we've encouraged our clients to do for years. But I think you're right, you know, especially with all of the things that are happening in this country, especially in the last few months, you know, we have definitely seen an uptick in, you know, these types of programming.
It's just fascinating. This is going to, and it really is a sea change out there. By the way, I'll tell you something funny. You just mentioned it. This is how old I am. Okay, I had friends I used to go visit when we were all in college out in California, and they didn't go to Cal State Northridge. You know where they went? They went to San Fernando Valley State College. You know, San Fernando Valley State College. That's the old name of Northridge. Okay, there you go. That's how old I am. There you go.
I learned something new today.
Take that to the bank, okay? That's a good trivia one. I'll give you another one there, Mallory. Mallory, I'll give you another one, okay, because you went to school right next to it. All right, UVM, right? UVM, right next to St. Mike's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why isn't it just UV? It's the University of Vermont. Why do they call it UVM?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I actually read an article about this. It was a few years back, but I'll admit I've completely forgotten. You're going to say it, and it's going to spark the memory.
I am.
Because the name
of the college is actually three words. It's actually the University of the Green Mountains, Vermont. Okay? So it's UVM. Okay?
Three words, not two.
There you go. Okay? You should know that, St. Mike's girl. You should know that.
College facts. It's true.
Where are you now? Where do you live now? Where's the company?
Oh, well, our company is based in Boston, and a number of our team members live in the Boston area. The beauty of virtual, right, allows us to work from anywhere. So I'm based out in Los Angeles these days.
So you're in California, so you can go visit San Fernando Valley State College, currently known as Cal State
Northridge. That's right. I can drive right up the 405, and I'll be at CSUN in about half an hour.
Well, you can, because there's no traffic anymore, okay? So you can take that 405 and go there. Lucky you from Burlington, Vermont.
Right.
Mallory, this was great. Thank you so much. It's really cool stuff. I got to tell you, I'm glad we did this show. Thank you.
Terrific. Of course. Well, I appreciate the time. I think, I'll leave you with this thought that, and we've said it a few times here, but institutions are just never going to go back to their traditional in-person ways of reaching rising seniors and juniors. And I truly believe the future is virtual. It's been the shift that has been happening for years. It took a pandemic to cause higher ed to catch up. But the future's here, and, we at Platform Q are available and interested in talking to anyone who wants to better engage their students in this new normal that we're facing.
That was well said, and you're absolutely right. Again, everybody, Platform Q, that's the letter Q, not C-U-E. Okay, Mallory Wilsey, thank you so much. As you be safe. Stay safe out there, okay, in L.A., okay?
Thanks,
it's crazy
Larry.
Out there. Okay?
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. Wow, cool. Thanks, Mel. That was great. Okay, platformq.com. How interesting. It's really interesting what's going on out there. All right, got to tell you. All right, we'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. Okay, my name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.